Hello, and you are listening to another episode of the Tectonic Podcast, where we talk and discuss all things tech, at least for the week. It is a weekly podcast, and you're joining me, Darwin, and Jeevan again for episode 21 of our lovely little podcast, our humble little podcast, talking about tech and discuss tech, okay, basically. Now, last week, I don't know what to say. When it suddenly becomes slightly more lively, right, in the week before, suddenly it became quiet again.
Yeah, I think it's also because we are heading into Comic-Con.
Yes, Comic-Con is sort of happening soon. There's a lot of things that's coming out already for Comic-Con. But also, I suspect because we are coming into August. August is in our calendar. Is one of the busiest, or at least preparing to be some of the busiest times of the year, because a lot of things are starting to be announced, and availability will be somewhere in September, November, you know, all those kind of things. So I think everybody is kind of preparing for that period of craziness, kind of.
It's okay, the calm before the storm, though.
Correct. Yeah, well, what to do? But anyway, there is still some stuff that sort of happened over the week. One of which is Clubhouse. Clubhouse is not really hot in the news anymore, but it's still the most popular platform, like for audio, social media. How should I call it?
Audio casting at this point, because it's basically soundstage for you to say whatever you want, and nothing is recorded.
Yes, okay, but it's still the most popular version or the most popular app of its type, even though like Spotify came up with their own one, like the Green Room, which I think is quite brilliant, but Clubhouse is still on top, right? And if you haven't realized yet, if you're not on Android, okay, and you're on iOS, it's actually been on beta for the past year. Even on Android, lah, okay, it's been on beta. And now it's come out of beta mode, and it's kind of like a full release version of the app now. And now you don't actually need invites anymore to be on the platform. So those of you guys who doesn't have an invite, okay, and you are trying to get on a platform and no one invited you and stuff, you can go back to the platform and just sign up for it now. No problem. And this got some new stuff for the full version, but that's not really for the full version or because of the new version. It's because Olympics is finally happening. Now, they're still calling it Tokyo 2020, but it's 2021, so I'm not sure if we should still call it Tokyo 2020.
I think the Olympic Committee is not going to rename that, but yeah.
Yeah. Still, yes, it's Tokyo 2020. It's happening right now. All the best to the country's athletes, or all the athletes that are in Tokyo right now performing at their best, or, you know, doing their best to win medals.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Asus also launched the new stuff last week for Malaysia, at least. It's their ROG Zephyrus M16, one of their highest-end gaming laptops, is finally in Malaysia. How much is it, Jeevan?
I think the version that is available now is about 8,000, if I'm not mistaken.
That's quite painful, lah.
Yeah, but it's also an i9 processor.
Yeah, but then again, gaming laptops are now comes at a premium because of shortage in stock all over the world. We've talked about this. Situations are getting better, but you know, things are still a bit expensive for now, at least. What I'm really looking forward to is their Zephyrus S17 though. Like their ultimate gaming laptop.
I'm not sure it's going to come to Malaysia though.
I know.
The prices will be outrageous.
I know, but I really wish they do bring the S17 into Malaysia, and I really hope someone actually buys it. just so that it's a signal to Asus that, hey, we have crazy people here too.
Well, it's not so crazy when you look at prices in the overseas markets. When it comes to Malaysia, it's like five digits.
Yeah, which is quite insane for a gaming laptop. I think it's still quite unimaginable for us to buy something that expensive.
Well, somebody did actually buy the Predator that was going for like a price of a Myvi.
Yeah, the X21 or something like that.
Yeah, so I think we have the market for it. But at the same time, we have the
stomach for it. I don't think we have the market for it. We have the stomach for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it will be exciting to see, Asus launching the S17 if they ever do, because it actually looks really, really good. I'm excited. Okay. Samsung, they didn't really launch a new product last week. They've always launched like new products every week, so it's a good break. Okay, but they did something with their, HDR10 Plus technology. They are updating it to HDR10 Plus Adaptive, and it will come standard in their new Neo QLED series TVs, which are basically their most expensive TVs also at this time.
Yeah, it's their micro LED TVs.
Yeah, so if you want to see it, you can see in the shops. If you have enough money for it, you can probably buy one for at least, 20,000 currently?
I think it's about the entry level.
Yeah, it's not cheap. Sorry, we're announcing really expensive stuff this week. LG also announced a new soundbar. It's one of their most compact soundbar at all. They call it the QP5 Eclair in their series, and it's actually just very, very small. Like, it doesn't look like a soundbar. It actually just looks like a normal, everyday wireless speaker that you connect to your TV or, your phone. Okay, but it is a wireless sound. It's a soundbar that's made for your home, and it looks quite good. They haven't really announced its Malaysian pricing just yet, but we will wait and see. If there is a pricing, we will update you.
Yep.
HP also launched a new Chromebook last week.
At least Chromebook, in Malaysia.
Yes, at least in Malaysia. And it's a Chromebook. It's nothing to shout about. It doesn't come with like the Intel Core i9. Instead, it comes with a very, very, very humble Intel Celeron processor. It's a name that I haven't heard of for a very long time. But yes, a Celeron processor.
It's been but it's way not really too made long.
Yeah, it's not really made for, working people. It's made for students. So, and it's running Chrome OS. So it's not going to be a very, very powerful gaming machine made for gaming, right? It's actually made for students. And it's a flip device, you can turn it around and make it a touch tablet, stuff like that. I think it's really cool for students.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is that I don't think it's made for high school students. It's more meant for kindergarten, standard one, standard two, where you're not jumping into big programs.
Yeah, but I think it can work in secondary classrooms as well. It really depends on what you want to use it for in high school, right? In the context of high school, at least. And it also comes with HP Classroom Manager, which actually helps your teacher a lot. If you're a teacher using Google Classroom or, these classroom managers at this time, especially, helps a lot. So get learning. That's my advice to you teachers if you want to, capture the current students or manage your students from home.
I think there's a lot of platforms they can use, like even Google Classroom, where you can make your lessons a lot more interactive, especially since they're online now.
Yeah. And the next thing that we announced that we have from last week are basically dates. Not really, I wouldn't say launch. Right, it's not a launch per se. It's kind of like a teaser date of sorts, or dates for launches that's upcoming. one of which, and this is basically the thing that we're going to be discussing about today, right? And one of which is Huawei, right? They are announcing that they are launching. I'm not sure whether this is globally or only China, because it's also announced by Richard Yu, Huawei CEO, on his own platform in China. It's a social media platform in China. I can't remember what is it called.
Weibo.
Weibo, yeah. Weibo, their Weibo platform in China. And he's announcing it in Mandarin, obviously. So the Huawei the P50 is coming on the 29th of July, which is 3 days away, 2-3 days away.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Very late though. Very, very late.
So the Huawei P50 usually launches early in the year. Somewhere in the time where the S series will be launching. Right? This time is launching actually very, 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 very late in the year. It's launching in close to August, okay? And product availability will be somewhere in August or even September in some regions. Obviously, yeah. Malaysia will be one of the first regions to get it. But at the same time, my goodness, it's pretty late. It's August.
It's very late, actually, because usually by now we would have our reviews out. We would have hands-on and stuff like that of the P50 with it, I think, probably launching at this point or yeah. having launched already.
It's super, super, super late. They cited earlier in the year that, you know, they had production problems and, again, stock shortage.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Really at this point, it might just be them optimizing the Harmony OS so that it performs well across borders, not really across platform.
Yeah, so it is going to come with Harmony OS 2.0, something that we've seen from their Huawei MatePad Pro, the one that just launched, right? Huawei MatePad Pro 12.6, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, and yeah. also the MatePad 11, I think. Was it?
Yes, 11.8. Yeah. The 11.8. The new ones are going to come out with the Harmony OS. Huawei has told me that the new batch of the Huawei MatePad 11.8 is different from the old one, but they look like the same things to me lah. Okay, they just run different OS. So, yeah, one comes with EMUI, I think the old one, and then the new one comes with Harmony OS 2.0. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Huawei P50 will definitely come with the Harmony OS 2.0 or maybe a slight update. Okay. And it comes with not one, but two very big camera modules, at least from the renders. Okay. And they were talking about like, oh, new revolution of camera, of mobile photography. At least Richard Yu says that. Now, what do you think this revolution would be?
If it's a Leica co-engineered module, I think we've seen it in their Leica phone.
Yeah.
But I think they might be tweaking it a little bit more for Huawei.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm pretty sure they're going to come back with, you know, the RYYB sensor, the red, yellow, yellow, blue sensor, because they claim that it takes in more light, okay? In theory. And if you haven't seen the Leica phone that came out in Japan, okay, the sharp, what, I can't remember what the name is, but that phone has a sensor that is the size of, I wouldn't say the size of my finger lah, but it's an inch. The sensor size is about an inch.
It's about the size of a normal thumb.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it. Like, in a smartphone.
But it makes sense, especially since we've been talking about it so much in previous episodes. A larger sensor means more light, more details.
That is true,
but
yes.
We don't know how it performs. Yeah.
That is true. More light means more details in photographs, in sensors, and whatnot, okay? Because more light means you get a bigger size sensor means you get to take in more light. The problem is, bigger sensors require more space, and in certain usage, more cooling, especially when you need to use it for videos. So, yeah. In a smartphone, I just can't imagine how they do all that in with lenses that are, you know, microscopic.
It's not only that. If you've ever tried to shoot 4K video on a smartphone, especially under Malaysian sun,
mm-hmm.
by the time you hit like 5 minutes, you can barely hold the phone.
Ah, yeah, that is true. That's another thing, right? Now phones can shoot at 8K.
Yeah, and we're talking about shooting at 4K under Malaysian weather.
Yeah, I did. I reviewed the Note 20. Was it the Note 20? Yes, the Note.
Yeah,
the Note 20, remember? And I shot it at... I shot 8K videos with the Note 20 Ultra. And this was in an air-conditioned room, okay? Within 5 minutes, the phone feels so hot that I felt like I could cook an egg on it. It's hot. It's not warm. It's hot, okay? And that's the normal sensor size that you get from a smartphone. This is a 1-inch sensor. It's huge.
Now, you take that and put it under hot sun. Like, if you watched our S21 review, our S21 Ultra review, they were all done outdoors.
Mm.
And these phones were heating up within 3 minutes. And this was only at 4K.
It's bad. What I'm saying is, it's bad, okay? We will see how it performs when it arrives in Malaysia, if we get to review it. So do keep a lookout for that. Another thing that is really, really, really exciting for us, at least, that's going to be launched soon, is the Samsung Galaxy, not Note, okay, the Z Fold 3. And I want to say Z Flip 2, but everybody's calling it a Z Flip 3 instead, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. What's
and I think it's because the Z Flip 5G came out, so they're like, okay, technically we have a 3, so 3.
No. No, that's just wrong. I don't think... Yeah, well, the Z Flip 5G came out, but I don't think that's a Z Flip 2. I still see it as Z Flip 1 with a 5G update. That's not really a second device, because everything else internally is the same. So I will still call it the Z Flip 2. Unless, you know, Samsung officially came out and say Z Flip 3.
Yeah, so the new flips are actually quite exciting, especially the Z Fold.
Mm.
Because if rumors are to be believed, we're getting an S Pen with the Z Fold 3.
Ha. I'm going to take that with a pinch of salt also. Because...
Yeah.
Because on the Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra, okay, they say, oh yeah, there's S Pen support. But to get the S Pen, you have to jump through hoops.
Yeah, and it's not only that. It's not only that. There's nowhere to put the S Pen.
Exactly. So you have to buy a case with it. And the S Pen is exorbitantly expensive. It's a nice S Pen because it's a full-size S Pen, like a full-size pen, but it's not worth it. It's really not worth it. And when you buy the case actually looks really cumbersome. It adds a width to the phone that you're like, why? Just why?
It makes the phone very asymmetrical.
Exactly.
And using the phone feels so funny.
Well, you wanna sort of match the experience to Galaxy Note, but there's a lot of wasted space on the case itself, and I'd rather buy the S Pen on its own, but you can't.
Now, but there is also one thing that we haven't gotten since the launch of the S21 Ultra.
Mm.
They said we're going to have an S Pen Pro,
which doesn't come.
Never come.
I think the S Pen Pro will be reserved for the Z Fold 3. Also, at the same time, they're not going to put the S Pen into the Z Fold 3. Okay, that we know for sure. They can't.
If they somehow figured out a way to put the S Pen into the Z Fold,
it'll be great.
I will be impressed.
Yeah, it'll be great. I will admit that, you know, it'll be great. But I don't think they could. I don't think they will. And they're going to sell the S Pen separately. And they're going to announce the S Pen Pro separately. So
I wouldn't be surprised. And you have to also remember that last year, the one thing that was holding them back from releasing an S Pen capable Z Fold was the fact that it was leaving indents in the screen itself.
Yeah, and also the screen, if you read our review for the Z Fold 3, you would know that the screen is not exactly rigid. Is that the word?
Yeah. Not to say rigid, it's not...
See, I'm struggling to find a word.
It's not like... You know how glass is? It's not that.
It's not glass. It's definitely not glass. They actually have
it's plastic.
Something like that. They have a protective layer over it, like a protective film that they tell you not to remove, okay? And you can't really remove it in the Z Fold 2. Not like the first Z Fold, like the Fold, first Samsung Galaxy Fold. It's not called a Z Fold, right? It's a Fold, right? And the second version of it is not something that you can remove at all, the film. But at the same time, when you touch the, you know, while the creases have improved and the integrity of the screen has improved, it still doesn't feel that great. It actually feels scary.
Soft. It feels pliable to a certain extent.
Yes, like Jeevan has touched it. He's like, I like it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, and I think that was the same thing we said about the original Samsung Fold.
The first Fold, I straight away say I didn't like it. Straight away said I kind of hate the device because it actually feels like a prototype device rather than something that you sell to people. And it cost 8,000 ringgit. Like, would you buy an 8,000 ringgit phone that doesn't work?
And the first Fold is actually one of the only phones that nearly gave us a heart attack in the office.
Yeah, because when we fold, the first Fold actually felt like you were snapping the phone. It's not a great feeling. Now, the Z Fold 2 felt a lot more accomplished. It felt more complete. Felt a lot nicer. The front display is actually a lot more usable than the inside the older Fold display. But at the same time, the inside display still leaves a little bit more for wanting, for better. I'm running out of words here, you know, but it leaves a bit more to be desired.
Yeah, it felt really incomplete as a Samsung product. And this is their own benchmark. Like, when we hold the Notes, when we hold the S series, it has a sense of completeness that the Z Fold so far
hasn't delivered, yeah.
And even the Z Flip, actually, it felt like a test product.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Would you actually use an S Pen on a foldable screen? I'm still not sure. I'm still really not sure because of that one part that, you know, you have to crease.
Yeah, and... It depends on how rigid or hard the screen is, because we've held two versions of this phone. Essentially, we've held three versions of a foldable screen from Samsung. And in all those versions, we did not feel like the screen was sturdy enough.
Yeah. I mean, the Z Fold 2, credits to where credits are due, it felt a lot more solid, at least compared to even the Z Flip, okay? The middle part of display feels a bit more solid. The crease is not as noticeable as before, okay? And it's a sign of improvement. So we hope that the Z Fold 3, you know, at least will come with an even better display. And we know that they can do a good job because we've seen actually Lenovo doing it with their own kind of yoga book. Is it called a yoga book?
I think it's ThinkPad Fold.
Yes, the ThinkPad Fold. Something like that. Okay, and yeah. It's a foldable screen thinging of a magic thing as well. It's not the greatest tablet or laptop that you can find in the market, but it is a good looking concept and is a good idea of what foldable screens can achieve and how good a foldable screen can look, right?
Yeah. As natural as it can be. I think it's one of the more ubiquitous designs we've seen for foldables.
Yeah.
Like, even when it comes to keyboard and stuff like that, Lenovo has it down.
Yeah, exactly. So, you can get a good-looking or a nice, practical, foldable display that can work with a stylus device, but you gotta get it out. I think Samsung is a pioneer of this technology. I'm quite surprised that they haven't come up with it yet.
Yeah. Like,
so far.
But we do know they've been working on it, so I'm excited to see what they come up with in a final product.
Yeah. Another thing I'm really excited about, okay, is their Samsung Galaxy Watch 4 that's also touted to launch on the August 11th because it's not running on their own Tizen platform anymore.
Yeah, it'll be running Wear OS 3 for the first time.
For the first time ever, yes. And, well, yeah, Google calls it Wear OS 3. There's no surprise there because even the previous one is like Google Wear OS 2. There's no surprise there.
But at the same time, I think the transition from Wear OS, the current Wear OS, to Wear OS 3 is proving to be kind of a sore point for Google. Because
I think so, yes.
All the current like fossil watches and stuff like that, none of them have come out of the door saying, okay, we are upgrading to Wear OS 3 hands down. There's no question asked about it. Like, yeah, even for me, I have a Fossil watch. I don't know whether it'll be upgraded.
Most likely not. So anything older than the Gen 4 or Gen 5 Fossil smartwatch will not get an update at all. That's as far as I know. As far as we know, at least. That's what Fossil has said. But the newer ones should be updated, okay? But really late. They're talking about 2022. Second half of 2022. Not even like this year. They have come out and said that, you know, we're going to release new Android Wear OS 3 smartwatches at the end of this year. Okay, we don't know when just yet because they haven't announced their product lineup. But yeah, there's even reports earlier in the year when, you know, Google I/O was kicked off and they announced Google Wear OS partnership with Samsung that a lot of the older Snapdragon watch platform, even the 400, the current 400 one, will not be able to support Wear OS 3. Obviously, Qualcomm has come out and said, no, that's not the case, right? That they have a new platform, but the older 400 platforms for wearable will be able to support Google Wear OS.
I think this is a situation where the software and hardware manufacturers aren't really jiving.
True.
At this point, like, even for my old Fossil watch, it should be able to run it because it's running on Wear OS. And it's running on the Snapdragon 4000 series processors.
To be fair, yes, it should. But, you know, Wear OS 3 is a very, very, very big departure from Wear OS 2 at the same time. Okay, so you have to first understand that in order to understand why you might not be able to upgrade your watch to a Wear OS, right? Now, even Samsung hasn't come out to say whether their older Samsung Galaxy watches will be upgradable to the new Wear OS because it's a completely different platform. Like,
actually, Samsung,
a complete 360 change of, you know, direction.
Yeah, it is, but Samsung actually said that their Tizen OS watches will not be upgraded.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of a bummer for like current smartwatch users, even for a Samsung user, like, who just got their Samsung Galaxy Watch and going all excited because they're like, oh, this is a really nice platform. And we have said before in our reviews that one of our favorite platforms on a wearable, on Android, okay, at least, is the Samsung's Tizen OS. It's the best that you can get for, you know, smartwatches. Jeevan, yeah, previously, when he hasn't experienced the Tizen OS in a Galaxy Watch, okay, he's always been, oh, Android watches are really great, you know, the Wear OS is great, stuff like that, until he actually got his hands on a Tizen OS. Like, it completely changed the way he worked with his smartwatch. It completely changed, like, his perception of a smartwatch. Like, yeah, there's no compromise.
And the thing about it is, it's such a well-adapted platform that even your health tracking and optimization of apps for the platform was so easy. Exactly. And health tracking on the Tizen OS platform has been one of the most accurate.
Yeah, so that's why we say that if you really want a smartwatch, get a Samsung, right? Get the Samsung one, if you're on Android, at least, right? Or
yeah,
if you're on the iOS, we will always tell you get the Apple Watch, obviously. But if you want an alternative, the Samsung Galaxy Watch is the best that you can get for Android at this point, really. There's also other options, obviously. One of the options that is available to Malaysia is TicWatch. I think the TicWatch Pro 3 is going for 1,320 something ringgit currently.
Yep.
On Shopee, right? In their official store, obviously. And they have come out to say that this will be upgradable to the Wear OS 3, which is really good news if you're looking for a new smartwatch right now, okay, and you're on Android. This will be upgradable. And yeah, obviously, because Wear OS 3 is developed by Samsung, together with Samsung and Google, you know, it's going to be very, very big experience change. We don't know yet whether it'll be good or bad. We're expecting good things.
Yeah, and it's very surprising that a kind of new smartwatch manufacturer comes out and says, okay, we will support it.
And Fossil's like, we can't really update the current ones yet.
Maybe
next year. It's kind of funny for me.
Yeah, it's very funny because we've had all these big, big manufacturing companies like Fossil, Casio,
Tag Heuer.
All of them have been doing Android Wear watches for a while now. And all of them are so scared to upgrade to Wear OS 3.
Yeah, Tag Heuer has not actually said whether they are going to be upgrading their connected watches to Wear OS 3. But like last week we mentioned, they actually launched a new, you know, special edition Super Mario connected watch for fans. And it's, what, $2,000? No.
That price point and the fact that it's Mario makes it even more painful.
Yeah, well, it's Mario, right? You pay for special edition stuff, for collector stuff, but at the same time, look, if you want a functional watch, we suggest you wait for a short while until the Galaxy Watch 4 at least launches. Or, you know, if you don't really want a Samsung, you have bad experience with Samsung, I know some people have, wait for Fossil. They are going to launch, okay? And Fossil is usually one of the more reasonable manufacturers for a Google watch, at least in terms of price.
Yeah.
Right.
And even quality and build, I think they are one of the better ones out there.
So far, yes. So anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you. Thank you again for listening into our podcast and sitting through our rant of, you know, the upcoming products and our excitement and sharing our excitement, you know, at least for the upcoming products. If you want to know more about these products or you want to know more about what we're talking about, you can head over to www.techand.tv to actually read up on all of this on our website. If you need to contact us, our email is just right there. You can just find it there. Email us directly and tell us, you know, what you want to see from us, what you want to hear from us, you know. If you are on social media, we are also on social media. We are on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, even on LinkedIn, and we are TechEntTV across all channels. That is TechEntTV across all the social media platform. Again, we are available on Spotify. If you're listening on, you know, Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, we are also available there. If you're watching this on YouTube, do leave us a comment on our feedback box, you know, the comment box, whatever, you know, just give us a shout out, let us know what you think of the show, and do give us thumbs up, you know, subscribe to us for more of these things. Obviously, follow us on Spotify, follow us on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, obviously, right? And that has been the Tech and Tonic Podcast, episode 21. Thank you for listening. Bye.
See ya.